numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Morning and welcome into a numbers game. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander. A good show on tap for you today. We've got a lot to cover. We got more on college football. Tim Murray's going to be with us. Now, Tim does a lot of stuff for the network, but he has written up multiple conferences in the College Football Betting Guide coming out soon, the first week of August, and of course is the host of our College Football Betting Podcast. So we'll talk to him about a couple of the recent episodes that they had, including one, which we're going to get to in depth today, the American, which is the AAC is a interesting conference. A lot of turnover, pretty much like the Conference USA, but like half of it is in there. So we'll talk about that with Tim Murray. We'll also get a lot going to when we cover, of course, the Open Championship as we continue to keep our eye on that. And coming up in 30, Jordan Sherwood, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast, and First Strike is going to be with us to talk about the card this weekend. It's an early card overseas. Now, I have to open up with this. I am filling in for Gil Alexander, so I feel like we should mention this in honor of Gil since he is not here. He'll be back next week. Am I quoting that correctly?
Yep, last Tuesday.
Time, all right, last time I said he was back, it was actually Matt Brown. So
that's right.
Gil will be back on Tuesday. But in honor of Gil, I got to tell you, yesterday it was amazing watching Twitter and seeing social media reaction and talking to people who have affiliation with the Washington Commanders. Because yesterday was the day, right? The first day the sale was approved by the National Football League. So, of course, the Washington Commanders change hands, and now we have new ownership. And everybody was really happy, including the fact that Tim Murray comes up to me while I was over at Circa yesterday, because Mountain West Media Days were the last 2 days. And so I do local on the side, and Tim Murray comes up to me. He's like, "You guys opening up with the Commanders today?" I'm like, "No, I mean, I know it's a big deal for you guys, but I don't know if it's that big deal in the nation." But there were a lot of happy people yesterday and celebrating what was going on with the Commanders and the official news that, of course, it was approved and that Snyder is out. Now, there's a lot of things that came out yesterday as well that were pretty fascinating. The first of which is, if you look at it from the Snyder standpoint, $60 million was the fine for him. That represents 1% of the sale price. So, of course, good things happen to good people. Only $60 million in terms of the fine. The other bit of news that comes out from yesterday is this. This is from Bleacher Report, though, but of course via the Rich Eisen Show. There is, quote, "a pretty good chance the new ownership of the Washington Commanders will change the franchise name and have a complete rebranding of the team." So, hey, kind of down with that. I think that's pretty interesting. I was never really a big fan of the Commanders to begin with. Kelly, I don't know where you stood, and you've been with Gil for a while, so I don't know where he stood. I actually was kind of a fan of the Washington football team thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gil is down that route for sure.
Yeah? Because, it's got, like, the soccer, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, football club, FC, all that kind of stuff. I actually kind of dug it a little bit. The uniforms look pretty solid, too. So, not a big fan of the Commander brand.
No,
but it does look like maybe we're going to get something new here as well. And maybe, was it Red Wolves that was one of the popular selections?
So that was the only thing I was going to bring up. And, of course, I didn't research this at all. But wasn't that put to a fan vote?
I think, if I remember correctly.
So, like, we're going to change the name even though we allowed the fans to technically vote on the name?
Well, they picked a bad name. If that was the case, they did pick a bad name. We'll be quite honest there. So we'll see what the rebranding is. And again, pretty good chance. That also means that there's a chance it doesn't happen. So I think that was the big news coming out of this yesterday. But good. Hey, I'll say this. For guys like Gil, because I know Gil retweeted it yesterday, you know, his monologue, essentially, on Snyder and the ownership and how it's been being a fan of the team and how happy he was and all that. Good for everybody who's affected by this. And if you're happy about it, awesome. Good for you. Now let's get Artie Moreno to sell the Angels.
Huh? Yeah, Josh Harris, though, coming in a absolute win situation, right? Like, you can't lose. I don't know if you caught the story yesterday, but him calling into the local radio show, I think it was 106.3, and they knew they had remotes, like a couple remotes that night, and he went and bought beer for everybody, that was all the fans that were at remotes.
Getting up the goodwill
Oh my God, like, this is, when you're dealing with one of the worst owners in the history of sports, like, you, when you swoop in like this, just doing little things like that, oh my God, you already look like the greatest owner who's ever lived when you do things like that.
Yeah, like, you're already playing with house money, and then you come in and start doing stuff like this. So look, start of a new era for Washington, and hopefully, right, being one of those, I would call them like a pillar franchise for the National Football League. If you start to have some success there, that's always a good thing as well, because that's a good area. And then, of course, one of the other things that was talked about yesterday, too, is finding land for a new stadium, all sorts of things. So big changes coming. And as you put it there from Grant Paulson, Josh Harris just called into the show, said he heard about our parties at Old Ox of the Bullpen, bought beers for everybody. I don't recall Dan Snyder doing that.
Come on, right away. It's the easiest thing to do,
It's a real shock. Dan Snyder just always seemed like a man of the people. It's a real shock. It's a big upset that that didn't happen. All right, speaking of big upsets, let's transition over to what's happening across the pond. I think it's an upset the fact that Brian Harmon lit the course on fire the way that he did today. All done for the day. A 65 for Harmon. A really, really solid round, of course. He birdies four of the first five, and in fact, just birdie two, three, four, and five. Parred out the rest of the way, Kelly, then gets to 18 and has a beautiful putt for eagle to end the day with a 65, 6 under for the day, and 10 under for the tournament. He's got a 5-stroke lead right now on Tommy Fleetwood, who is through one, I think, and I'm not blind. I think that's still a 5 under for Tommy. Yep. So he did end up parring that first hole. So Fleetwood's at 5 under. The gigantic amateur that we watched yesterday tear it up, Lampricked. Off to a little bit of a rough start today, four over. I watched that first. So when he teed off earlier this morning, the camera zooms in on him. He's got his eyes closed, and he takes like a deep breath and like breathes out. And you're like, okay, that's either he's really focused or insanely nervous. And from the tee shot, I think it was insanely nervous.
Four.
Yes. So
I think there was a four yell on the first three holes.
Well, because what I liked is, so you know they have like the guys that hold up the sticks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And immediately he just starts going just waving it. You're like, oh man, come on, Lampricked. Hope it's not the case for him. But yeah, so four over for the day for the young amateur who was lighting it up yesterday. So we'll see if he can kind of find some even ground. So the story today is Brian Harmon. We do have quite a few guys out there on the course, but if we're talking about like big scores and making some like head, look, Harmon is the guy by far who has dominated the course. The next best rounds for dudes today, Minwoo Lee, Tom Kim, we'll get to him in a second, Joaquin Niemann, Thigala, thank you very much. All at three.
No, where's he at? I got a matchup against.
Well, he's at 5 over for the tournament, okay, but 3 under for the day. So I'm talking about scores for today.
Yes, in comparison. Yes. To your point, in comparison to Brian Harmon, none of these guys are coming close.
Yep.
The wind's blowing much harder today. We expected that. We knew that. This also does. Look, we're gonna always bring this up. We're at this part of the country, this stuff can change on a minute. It by the weather forecast, this is as rough as it should be basically right now. Should get a little calmer as the day goes on, but not by much. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen is it's going to start raining later, though, too. So the wind will calm down, but the rain's going to come. So the fact that Harmon's there in the clubhouse, 10 under par, he's really given himself a big lead. And JVT, we were talking about before the show, this is – I don't want to say mind-blowing to me, but because Brian Harmon is a guy who's been on tour for a very long time, and he's a very good, consistent putter. But all this guy's doing, he's taking what the course is giving him. It's fine. I'm just finding fairways, getting on the green, making putts, and that's all he's doing, and he's avoiding these pot bunkers and some of the disasters we saw some of the guys run into yesterday. He's just he's making it look easy.
Yes, he is, and I hope, because of what you're saying for the weather projections later in the day, I'm hoping this isn't a case where a guy takes a pretty sizable lead over the field today and just has to kind of maintain the rest of the weekend, because that makes for a little bit less drama. And it's also why I was kind of upset watching our guy Tommy Fleetwood, because being like, ah, man, late tee time, it's going to be kind of tough. We'll see if he can do it. But right now, again, Fleetwood pars the first hole. Wanted to mention very quickly before we get to our story of the day, I mentioned Tom Kim really quick. You retweeted the quote from Tom Kim. So for those who don't know, Tom Kim actually suffered a grade one tear in his right ankle on Thursday night. He played through the injury, and his team essentially told him, stop being a wimp.
Yeah.
Let's go. Keep it going. He shot a 68.
Shoots a 68. Yeah, he had a post-round quote about probably having to get surgery and stuff, but playing through it for right now. So keep your eye on that. If there may be Tom Kim fans out there, yeah, it does sound like after this tournament, he might be laid up for a while.
All right, so I like to have fun. And, every once in a while I'll mention, like, side stories, whatever, you know, get involved with it. So the other day I mentioned a story. It was Hakeem Olajuwon filming a McDonald's commercial.
Right.
And the story was that Olajuwon allegedly ate, you know, over 100 nuggets while filming it. He had to, like, dunk the nugget as part of the commercial. So immediately our downstairs crew does a fantastic job. Isaiah Wrinkle, who's part of it, alleged that he could just, 100 nuggets in 100 minutes, no problem, right?
Easy, yeah, easy.
Well, now we're up.
Here's the challenge.
So starting in the next, the timer's going to start in 10 seconds.
Yep.
He's got 100 minutes to get 100 nuggets down.
for $100.
He gets $100.
And we've got a new wrinkle into the challenge, yep. JVT, and Isaiah's last name is Wrinkle. Yes, we got a new wrinkle in it. I'm declaring this right now because Tommy Fleetwood helped me chop a first-round leader bet. So he's got 100 minutes to complete 100 nuggets. He gets $100. If he does it in half the time, he's got one of two choices. He can take an additional $50 from Tommy Fleetwood, from me, or I will take the whole crew bowling and buy them beer.
Okay.
So Isaiah has to make that decision. Will he be selfish, or will he play for the crew?
What was it?
It's like Sophie's Price Choice? Is Right. Yeah, Sophie's Choice.
All right, let's see. So we start again. I want to stress too, 100 minutes, there's no speed element involved here. So there is no warrant, there's no hazard. Isaiah, you know, take your time. You got 100 minutes to get these down. So this is going to be this. Our Nugget Cam will check in every once in a while. He gets his sauces.
Oh, we've got multiple cameras.
Yeah, so we'll see if he could pull this off. But there was a lot of confidence to the point where we were going to actually up the price. We were going to give him more money. We were going to be willing to give him more, but he immediately settled on $100. It was like, not going to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I knew I could start low with Isaiah because he'd accept it right away. I was willing to go much higher than that, yeah. But I knew how cocky he was. It's also where I had to throw in this little side bet. We'll see if he can get it done ahead of time.
All right, with that, we're watching John Rahm wrap up his first round. He is one over for the tournament. He has got a putt for par for about 4 feet or so. We'll see if he can sink that, and we'll keep our eye on the Open Championship as we move on throughout the entirety of a numbers game. When we come back, though, we'll revisit really quickly. We got to hit on Major League Baseball. We had a really big series get started yesterday in the American League East, as we do now have a new leader. Ooh, Rahm rimmed that thing out, so he's going to finish the day 2 over for the tournament. Let's get it done, Wrinkle. Come on, Nugget counters at 5. Keep it going. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID. Open an account. Start placing sports bets for anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I wanted to make a quick note before we get to Major League Baseball. This is somewhat important. So the American women are in action later today. They, of course, will be taking on Vietnam. Sounds like, because they're massive favorites here, sounds like we're going to get some minutes restrictions for some of the longer-in-the-tooth vets for the U.S. women. So that's going to be something to watch because, of course, when you're talking about a massive favorite and a massive goal spread, people might want to be aware of the fact that maybe some of the best players won't be on the field for the pitch.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like some of them still need some warm-up time or something like that, which might be how they're treating the game against Vietnam today.
Yes, it sounds like that's the case. So Rose Lavelle and Megan Rapinoe, is going to have their minutes managed to start the Women's World Cup. Julie Ertz fully fit to play, so that's something worth noting. But I don't know how – look, I'm not going to pretend to understand power ratings and impacts on players, but just worth noting to anybody out there that maybe that's going to be something that could affect this. Right now, the U.S. women, minus 20,000 on the three-way, a 50-to-1 draw there. And we can go through some of the others in terms of spreads and whatnot. But right now, just worth noting, they play later today, 6 p.m. Pacific time. With that, really quickly, last night in Major League Baseball, I wanted to go over a couple of the results, the first of which is the Baltimore Orioles, a very good story, the young team building up the right way. You know, it's really great to be a fan of a team like the Angels and watch teams like Baltimore just surpass them and building up by sucking the right way. But the Orioles yesterday come out, get a comeback win over the Tampa Bay Rays. How about that? 4-3 win for Baltimore to get this thing over Tampa Bay in extras. And a really good performance. The Rays, who get off to that historic 13-0 start, wins in 30 of their first 39 games, falling out of first place for the first time in 2023. And you look yesterday, man, first off, you come back, you're able to get that game all knotted up. But the Orioles there in extras, when you come out and you have an interesting situation early on, when you talk about Felix Bautista coming in, giving up a free runner in that extra, but then coming out, striking out the next hitter, and then, of course, inducing a double play to end it, or at least end that top half of the inning, Orioles are now leading. That was one thing that I was pretty wrong about. It's not something I bet, but I threw at Will Hill one time when we were here. I think it was on this show. Where it's like, you know, do you look at Baltimore and maybe one of those teams that could kind of be regressing a bit and maybe a candidate to fall out of the wild card race? Not the case. The Orioles seem like they're going to be every bit of a contender here. And it opens up an interesting door here, Kelly, because I think if you're Baltimore, a team that didn't do much in the offseason, was content with rolling out the youngsters for the most part again and seeing what you had, now the trade deadline, I would think it's all signs go. Like, let's go buy. Let's go get some stuff. Let's try to get this thing done, because clearly the Rays are not the team. Look, they're good. I don't want to,
you're right.
But they're not as dominant as they showed through those first 39 games. This is a division that we can win. It's an American League that is absolutely wide open. Like, the Rangers, of course, look very good offensively, but we know about the flaws that that team has. The Astros can't gain ground on them. The American League Central is what it is. Like, this is a perfectly winnable league right now. Why would Baltimore not start to get aggressive at the deadline and try to shop? I mean, again, I don't think he's getting shipped. But if you're one of these teams that wants, like, a rental, if you're, like, why not call the Angels about Ohtani? Why not go do something, try to make a move that would actually help your team in a big way? I think Baltimore should be a buyer.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't even know if it just comes to Ohtani. I just think if you're the Orioles, you got to think about it more of, like, I think when the years you find yourselves in situations like this, you have to go for it. Because how many years are you truly going to be first in the AL East on July 21st, right? When you're playing with the Yankees and the Red Sox, I mean, and you could maybe throw the Rays in there too, but I mean, we think the Blue Jays have a bright future. I mean, how many times are we really even going to see the Orioles in this position? So I'm with you. I would be out there buying. Try to run this up while you can.
Sorry, I got distracted by something. All right. So with that too, I just wanted to note, if you looked at those odds right there, like for the league odds, for example, the Blue Jays, who are 5.5 games out of that American League East division, of course, still in contention for the wild card, better odds to win the American League than the Baltimore Orioles at this point right now. Better odds for the Blue Jays to win the World Series than the Baltimore Orioles right now. And again, it's a long season. Nothing is guaranteed for any stretch. And the Orioles could go out, lose the weekend to the Tampa Bay Rays and fall out. It's just really interesting to watch this Baltimore team continue to play the way that they are. And just kind of like there's like this resistance to what the market is doing with them. The other thing that was worth noting from yesterday too, as we get into the weekend series and what's going to be important, but how about yesterday for the Atlanta Braves? And namely, when you're talking about some of these performances and individual performances, yesterday for Atlanta, when you're talking about Strider, 6 innings pitched for Strider, but 4 earned runs, 13 strikeouts for Strider. But when you're talking about this NL Cy Young and how important each one of these games are, to go out there against Zach Gallen and have that performance against Arizona, 7-5 win, both pitchers performed relatively like okay, not great. It was pretty interesting to watch that dynamic as you were looking yesterday. What are we doing? How many is he at?
Look, my man's already through 33 of them.
But
this is going to be easy.
There's no way.
He's through 33. That's what we got on the counter, unless the boys are lying downstairs.
That's insanity.
Isaiah, there it is. Gobbled up. Yeah, look at the empty boxes. 33 nuggets in what? 11 minutes.
Yeah. He might crush that. I mean, now here's the thing. I've done food challenges before. Just really quickly, you always start strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's how you finish. So he has until the 8:50 mark of the 8:50 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, I told him to let me know how he's doing halfway through. Once you get 50 nuggets down, oh, man. You got to be hurting a little bit.
Yeah, so we won't. You can't throw that up. You can't distract me like that. You can't do that to me. But I wanted to bring that up yesterday because we were talking about that that dynamic, right, of Strider versus Gallen and how that was going to work at the top of the NL Cy Young. And Strider comes out and has an average performance. 6 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, does strike out 13, got taken deep twice. Gallen came out and was, again, we'll call it like average to above average, 7 innings for Gallen, which is solid, but 3 earned runs, got taken deep twice as well. This has been a fun series between Atlanta and Arizona, and Atlanta needed a little bit of a late comeback, played at 8 at the bottom of the, played at 4 at the bottom of the 8th to eventually win this thing. But I am fascinated by this dynamic in the NL Cy Young and what this is going to mean moving forward for Gallen, for both of those guys, and the fact that we continue, you know, to look at that and the rest of the contenders for that award kind of falling by the wayside. And it does seem like on paper, it's a 2-horse race for those guys. But overall, I think there's a few more contenders for this thing, but we'll see. By the way, the guy that I was making a case for in the NL Cy Young For a while, right, where I was like, hey, man, why does a guy like Marcus Stroman continue to dip? Stroman went out yesterday and got absolutely nailed by the St. Louis Cardinals. 3 2/3, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, only struck out 4 against St. Louis in a win for the Cardinals, which, by the way, I feel like we should mention this too. Do we just monitor this really quickly? Cardinals are now, do I dare have hope here? 44-53.
People did winning, like in May.
Right. They're winning baseball games. Everybody, including me, I think I've got a 20-1 ticket on them to win the National League, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that I bet like 2-3 months ago.
I remember everybody, what was it, like probably middle of May, everybody being like, look, it's a slow start, but this right. team's got a great roster. They'll come back. It's a great time to buy on. And I'm like you know, they kept losing. It was like, really? Are we sure?
It's going to happen.
We finally hit the point.
I mean, what are we talking
baseball
about?
Baseball season is long enough where that stuff can happen.
I mean, when you're 10 games out in the NL Central, it's pretty tough. 8.5 games out of the wild card. Got a lot of teams to leap. Probably not going to happen. But,
yeah.
Hey, better late than never, right? Speaking of which, too, good for Milwaukee, who, like, this team continues to kind of distance itself in the NL Central. Looked for a while that Cincinnati was going to surpass them, but to get the 2 series that they performed really well in, only lost one of those games. They've now won their last 2, but they're 8-2 in their last 10, 54-43, and 2.5 games up in the NL Central. As far as today is concerned, really quickly, because there is a pretty deep card, a lot of these series are getting started later today. I did want to note Shohei Ohtani is going to get the start today for the Angels. And as we know, Ohtani last time out, because he's been dealing with this issue on his hand, did not perform well. And his last 2 starts have not gone well at all because he's been dealing with this. Only 5 innings each time out, 9 total earned runs. So an ERA of 8-1 over his last 2 outings. Has only struck out 12 over those 2 starts. Angels today are $1.90 favorite over the Pirates, starting a very opportunistic series for Anaheim. Because if they can get this series and continue to try to claw their way out of this hole in the AL wildcard, it's massive. But the question just here is, how's Ohtani and how's he going to pitch today? Because the last 2 starts, because he's been dealing with this issue on his hand, you wonder if this is going to be something that's going to carry over or if he's going to be much better. Because obviously, with him on the mound, the Angels are going to get really priced up. But the last 2 starts, if anything, have indicated that Ohtani is really still dealing with something. And they tried to put that cover on his finger. That didn't really go well against Houston. So we'll see if he's felt any better since, what are we talking about here, about a full week since Ohtani's last start. So a full week can make a big difference. But he's been hitting, so we'll see if that's going to be it. But $1.90 for the Angels later today. Pre-game total, 8, shaded to the over at minus 120. All right, we got plenty left to get to. We'll get back to an open, we'll update the Open Championship as well. See what the leaderboard's like as we do have these late guys getting out there. And the Nugget Cam, of course. Keep an update on what's going on with Wrinkle. Looks like he's going to crush this thing. 100 nuggets in 100 minutes, man.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's your last chance, folks. End of July, this is all over. The NFL betting guide's out. The college football guide's coming up in a couple of weeks. So get in on our offer. $175 gets you access all the way through the Super Bowl to everything we do here at VSiN. You can sign up monthly and get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything that we have. But the offer for $175 ends on July 31st. So don't miss out on this preseason deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and get in on the action. Yeah, the college football betting guide is going to be awesome. Finishing up the win totals and bets that I'm going to submit for the guide as well. You putting anything in? No?
No, I was not asked.
It was on the email. There's an email. Oh, is it just me?
Yeah, just you. What are you doing, Mountain West Conference again this
year? No, I was actually talking to Tim. Adam Burke decided I wasn't good enough for that, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, so it's Tim Murray who's doing the
What'd you get demoted down to? Are you doing
nothing?
FCS schools?
No, they're just, hey, if you got some best bets, submit them. So I'm like, all right, cool. Hey, man. Look, Adam Burke and I have a rocky relationship.
What does it go? Like FCS, and then there's NAIA, right? Is that the next one down?
Sure.
I think, yeah. You'll handle those.
I won't speak to that because I don't really know. So I will never. Sometimes I'll speak on things I don't know. But with things I don't know, we welcome in smart guests like Jordan Sherwood, who, of course, you can find his work on First Strike. You can follow him on Twitter, Wood on ESPN 1000. Jordan, it's always good to talk to you. Always appreciate the time. So let's start right off the bat here. Walk us through, overall, this card. Seems like it's a pretty good one, but I want to start at the top with the main event before we get to the rest of the cards. Tom Aspinall, Marcin Tybura, -475, the price over at DraftKings for Aspinall. Tybura's at +350. Haven't seen a ton of move here, so walk us through why Aspinall is this big of a favorite and does he deserve to be? And especially, I'll preface it with this, in a heavyweight fight where I feel like there can be some variance when it comes to these big guys going at it.
Yeah, JVT, this fight card's going to be great top to bottom because it's a European focus. They're not often overseas, and they're in London live in prime time for the home crowd there. So it's a little bit earlier start for us to watch. But, yeah, I mean, Tom Aspinall is all the hype behind him. I mean, he is considered to be potentially a future UFC heavyweight champion or at least a UFC heavyweight contender. He's got all the tools. He's got good boxing. He's got a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He's extremely athletic. And he doesn't waste any time in the cage, dismantling opponents either early in the first round or, early into the second round. The one time I'm going to recommend you maybe take a pass or a flyer on as big of an underdog as Marcin Tybura is, it's this type of situation because we have not seen Tom Aspinall in over a year. It was a year ago that he fought Curtis Blaydes. He threw a leg kick 15 seconds into the fight and completely shattered his ACL and MCL. So, who knows what that recovery was like, if this is too quick of a turnaround for him to get in there in a main event fight and a big-time opportunity for him to cement himself as a heavyweight title challenger against a guy in Marcin Tybura that's, 7-1 in his last 8 fights, a guy that's never been submitted in his mixed martial arts career. So you're asking A, Aspinall to do something to him that it's never happened, or B, a guy that's really a tough out. Tybura's been in there with some heavy hitters like a Greg Hardy, a Walt Harris, and neither one of those guys knocked him out. So, I think logically, Aspinall should win this fight. It's a favorable matchup for him. But the hesitancy for me, as big of a favorite as he is, JVT, is, again, what is he going to look like when he's actually in a fight? You can train all you want, you can rehab all you want, but what's going to happen when he actually steps into the octagon? That's why I wouldn't recommend any play on Aspinall, especially at that number.
Every single number in these markets would indicate that this thing is not going to go the distance. Round under 1.5 is -195. To go the distance, you're getting 7-1. What do you make of just the way this plays out? Are we going to get a finish? Is the market right in pricing it this way? Or is that just slanted because these are two heavyweights and there's a little bit more of a chance this goes a little bit longer?
No. I think we will see a finish. I mean, in all likelihood, we'll see a typical Aspinall fight and an early exit for his opponent. I mean, the guy doesn't waste any time. All his wins have come inside the distance. The three times he's lost, two of them, have been inside the distance, so Aspinall doesn't go to the judges' scorecards. There is an opportunity for Marcin Tybura to maybe get a finish there as well. So I think I'm not maybe confident on the under at 1.5, which with priced out there, so maybe you lay a little juice and go under at 2.5 just to be safe. Maybe Aspinall's a little tentative coming out of the gate again after that injury.
All right, co-main event is a flyweight bout, McCann versus Stolyarenko. Walk me through why the market is moving against McCann. Some spots had her well over $3, but we're seeing, I didn't even think FanDuel opened -400. We're down to -215, -205. Why the moves against McCann here in the market?
Look, because Molly McCann's not as great of a fighter as she's made out to be.
Yeah.
She gets a lot of hype because of her association with Dave Portnoy and Barstool and the fact that, of her three latest wins have come by spinning back elbow. So you don't really see that often, JBT, but they weren't against great opponents. They were favorable matchups for her, and they were both in London, England, with the hometown crowd behind her. This is another favorable matchup. Stolyarenko is a good fighter, but she had success before she got to the UFC. She's now 1-5 in the UFC. She's been finished in a bunch of different fights. The thing is, though, is I think we're going to get this fight headed to the ground. I think we're going to see a typical Molly McCann fight. She's not going to mess around with feet. She's going to take this fight to the ground and try and just like grapple and control. And that's kind of also in the Stolyarenko's wheelhouse. All her wins are basically like Ronda Rousey style via armbar. So I think Molly McCann wins the fight. I think, again, it's a favorable matchup, but I don't think she's going to win inside the distance. I think this is a typical women's fight. It's a slow grinder of a fight. And I think you can get plus money right now at Molly McCann via decision. So I think that's what we're going to see You know, Molly McCann kind of reverting back to what we know her prior to this, you know, this hype that's been built behind her with the Barstool Association.
Is there a point where if this price continues to dip that just to win the fight outright, you know, is that worth it? Like if it gets to like a minus 185 or anything like that? Because it only seems to be heading in one direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a spoon-fed fight for Molly McCann. So okay. If you can get her under $2, you play it for sure. You know, Storylenko, I think, is on her way out of the UFC. She looked fine on weigh-ins. That was a little bit of a concern, her making the cut to flyweight, but she looked fine. But I think, again, favorable matchup for Molly McCann. She should win the fight, but I just don't think she's going to finish her like she's been doing against, you know, her previous two wins in the octagon.
All right, I want to ask you about one more line move that I noticed, then we'll get to some of the other bouts you have your eye on. Andre Muniz, some spots open at $165, up to well over $2, minus 225 against Paul Craig. What's your read here and why the market's moving in Muniz's favor?
Yeah. Well, I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, look, okay. I think the concern was Paul Craig making the jump down from light heavyweight to middleweight, but he looked fine at the weigh-ins. He's always been a relatively small 205er, so I think actually this is a good, smart decision for him to fight at 185. And he's got one of the best guards in mixed martial arts, and he's taking on a guy that's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, so he's going to want to go into his guard and look for a submission. Yeah, Muniz will probably be the bigger fighter. He'll be the fresher fighter and the better on the stand-up, but I think hopefully these guys go to the ground. So actually, I'm going to recommend a small flyer on Paul Craig. I think the Bear Jew, you know, this is the right division for him. He's a finisher. He's a guy that's very comfortable off of his back. So, you know, it's kind of both guys going to their strengths. I get why Munoz is favored because Paul Craig's been finishing a heck of a lot of fights before. But I think we could get a submission from Paul Craig out of nowhere. We have seen Munoz, you know, have a stinker, and this could be one of them.
Jordan Sherwood with us, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast, but you want to check out his work on First Strike as well. All right, Jordan, so let's go anywhere you want on the card, any fight that we haven't hit on that you have a bet on that you would recommend still at the current prices available.
Yeah, sure. So Mark Diakassi and Joel Alvarez are lightweights that are fighting on the prelim. You know, Diakassi, you know, came into the UFC with a very good striking background, has reverted to wrestling of late. He's been kind of tentative with his striking and looked pretty awful his last time out. He'll be, you know, he'll have a little bit of momentum with the home crowd behind him, but Joel Alvarez is a massive lightweight with an unbelievable guard and very difficult striking to kind of mirror in training camp and work through. And if Diakassi's not relying on his striking and is going to look to wrestle, that's his comfort level. That's right in Joel Alvarez's wheelhouse. And I like Joel Alvarez, even though he's the favorite at $1.90. I think it's a good price for him. So I think he wins the fight. He could win it inside the distance, catching a submission, or, you know, he's going to win on the feet, you know, outstriking Diakassi for three rounds.
All right, I like it. Anything else you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I'll say Makhmed Muradov against Brian Barberena. Barberena's going up in weight. He's always been kind of a smaller welterweight. Now he's going up to middleweight. I think Muradov, though, is going to win via decision. He's a big favorite, like 350, 325. But I think get him via decision. Brian Barberena has always been a tough bout. He's been submitted the last two times he's been in the octagon. But Muradov is not a submission ace. He's more of a grappler, kind of control you, kind of like I was talking about with Molly McCann. So I think he gets plus money Muradov to win via decision.
All right, last 60 really quickly. Any early thoughts on Makhachev versus Oliveira too?
It's so hard for me to pick against DuBronx, even though I did it, did it the first time, and it didn't do well for me. But I just love him. He's just so – I think he was just off that one fight against Makhachev. So even though the money and the public and – all the line is going towards Islam Makhachev. I think you can't bet Charles Oliveira against him because he's just so dangerous on his feet and in his guard.
First Strike, where you get all of recent podcasts. Check it out now. Jordan's on there all the time. Jordan, good to talk to you, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, JBT. Talk to you soon.
Got it. Wood on ESPN 1000. You want to give him a follow. Every time I look up, Kelly's got a smile on his face. I feel like it has something to do with something downstairs.
Oh, we're slowing down. Yeah,
I told you, man. You start out strong. Yeah. You always.
Started off too fast. He's slowing down.
All right. Well, we're not going to slow down here. Tim Murray's going to join us next to get his thoughts on everything college football. Tim's been doing an awesome job with the College Football Betting Podcast, getting ready for the upcoming NFL season, and, of course, writing for the College Football Betting Guide, which you want to get today. VSiN.com/subscribe.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You can place a no-run first-inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first-inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game. That's today. And if only one run scored in the first, you're going to get your stake back in bonus bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account. Sign up today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in required. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. They expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in D.C., Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. A quick update as we effort one, Tim Murray. So I was talking to you. First off, Wrinkle's slowing down.
He's slowing down. Stuck on 49.
That's the thing. Like I told you two things. I have experience doing this. All right. First off, you always start strong, which Isaiah did. What, 33 in the first like 15 minutes or something like that?
11 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. But also that the taste gets to you. You can love the food. The taste, the repetitive taste will get to you. Now, he does have the right thing because he's got different sauces and all that kind of stuff, but it's still the same base food. And what did he tell you?
Quote, it tastes really chickeny.
Yep. The taste gets you. It could be the most delicious food, but there's something mental about the repetitive taste. That's why I think when I watch these hot dog eating contests, right, like when I watch Joey Chestnut, I'm more impressed with watching not only just the amount, but the fact that they fight through the taste. Oh, it's incredible. All right. So, again, to reiterate for anybody just joining us, Isaiah's got to eat 100 nuggets in the next 100 minutes. The cutoff time is 8:50. So he's got just over an hour to finish.
He's
going to
miss the bonus. The bonus he's done.
Yep.
That he has got. He's got 13 and a half minutes to complete that.
Well, a bonus is that we get to talk to Tim Murray. Tim Murray. Wow, I can get through it. Sorry, it's a little early. It's Friday. Tim Murray is with us. On my way in, was listening to a fantastic podcast. Of course, the College Football Betting Podcast. I'm catching up as they are going through the conferences one by one. Tim, it's good to talk to you. First off, I saw you yesterday rubbing elbows with the Mountain West Elite. How was Mountain West Media Day for you yesterday, huh?
It's been great, man. It's first class event, and you certainly have more experience with the Mountain West than I do working with UNLV. So this is really my first time, kind of getting to chat and interact with the folks there and talk to the coaches. But we had a blast. I mean, we had a couple coaches come by the studio yesterday. They were appreciative of coming on VSiN. We loved it too. So it was really neat. It was it was cool. Obviously, for the media days to be there at Circa. So.
Okay, I think we might have lost. All right, well, we have some challenges. But here, what he's talking about with the Mount West, as we noted too, it's a pretty good conference. I will say, we mentioned when we did our Mount West preview at the beginning of the week, Fresno State is the team to look at, I think, in that conference. Circa had them at 4-1, so I did add Fresno State to win the conference at 4-1 over there at Circa. Because they've got a lot going back. But the Mountain West is a pretty fascinating conference, as is Conference USA. And I will say this, because when Tim and I were kind of chopping it up yesterday about the conference, and if we get him back, I was going to ask him about this. Tim, let's talk really quickly, because you and I were talking about a specific team out there in Conference USA. You're in agreement with me, right, that when you're looking at a team out there in CUSA, like UTEP, that's got a lot coming back in a conference that's changed over completely, that has multiple teams that aren't qualified for it. Like UTEP win total, UTEP to win that conference is a little bit more live, right, than the numbers would indicate?
Yeah, I think so, JVT. I mean, let's look at their schedule real quickly, and I know that there's some connection issues, so hopefully we can hold this strong here. But if they open up with a win in week zero against Jacksonville State, where they're about a point underdog against a new team in the FBS, they should be 2-0 against an Incarnate Word team that's, kind of changed everything over. You got to remember, Incarnate Word's whole staff went to Texas State, brought a lot of their players with them, so that's not the same Incarnate Word maybe we've seen in recent years. And then they play Northwestern, JVT. And, with everything that's going on in Northwestern, I can't assume that's going to be a victory. This is a team that, if you look at Phil Steele and his preview magazine, he's very high on them and the returning production that they have. FIU is going to be down. Sam Houston State's a new program in the FCS or the FBS, excuse me. So, there's a lot of opportunities out there. Win total sitting at 5.5. I think William Hill in here in town is -115 to the over. So the bet that I've made, UTEP over 5.5. I think this is a team that absolutely could get to bowl eligibility. And I'll say this, last year they won 5 games, JVT, in what was a better CUSA. Their final game of the season was against UT San Antonio. And you could see that they were fighting, trying to get the bowl eligibility. And, when I play these win totals, play it over a 5.5, knowing that this is a program that really hasn't been to many bowl games. I know there's a collective eye roll sometimes about, oh, bowl games, they mean nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, in a conference like CUSA with a program like UTEP, they don't go to many of them. So I think you're going to get, if we get the 5 wins, I think they're going to you know, you're going to see a really big-time effort to try to get to that sixth win, no doubt. So, yeah, I think UTEP, if we can win that week zero game against Jacksonville State, JBT, I think you're sitting in pretty good shape with an over win total.
And the other team that stuck out that we talked about really quickly as well, and I brought this up when we previewed it on Tuesday or whenever we talked about it, I thought Liberty was a little overpriced. I mean, you're talking about just 8 returning starters. You know, Jamie Chadwell comes over now to take over the program. I think there's a lot of turnover here, and I think a lot of what we're looking at for odds, right, plus 240 to win the conference, a win total of 9 is essentially a pick. A lot of that is due to what we've seen from Liberty the last few years, and I don't think it really represents the turnover that we're seeing from this program. Am I right in thinking that Liberty's a little overvalued here by the betting market?
Yeah, I do think they're a little overvalued in the futures market for sure, because of the success that they've had. The only reason I wouldn't be saying race to play and under is their schedule is, it might be the worst schedule or the easiest schedule in college football this year. They play nobody. I mean, they play their conference foes. I mean, think about it in years past. I think they played four Power Five teams last year. They played Virginia Tech, Arkansas, they played Wake Forest, and if you want to throw in BYU as a Power Five, now that they've joined the Power Five ranks, they're there as well. So, you know, this is a program, to your point, that got off to an 8-1 start last year, was ranked in the top 25, and then all of the rumors about Hugh Freeze started to really come about, and then they kind of fell off a cliff a little bit. But, you know, you look at them against Power Five teams, they covered against Wake Forest, they beat BYU outright, they beat Arkansas outright, and then they lost to Virginia Tech late in that season. But yeah, a lot of turnover there at Liberty. I do not expect them to win this conference this year. You know, I don't want to be chalky, but I mean, Western Kentucky in that conference is just really good. I mean, yep. The conference is down. They lost some of their best teams to the American Athletic Conference, obviously, none bigger than UTSA. But yeah, you know, on the pod, Adam Burke, who wrote up the conference for our betting guide, he loves Western Kentucky. He played the over win total. So you can listen in and see why, but they're just really good. They bring back Austin Reed, their quarterback, so they're the rightful favorite, but I don't think Liberty, I agree with you, probably shouldn't be the second favorite, in my opinion.
All right, let's talk about CUSA Lite, the AAC. This has been incredible watching this. You know, we were talking about Conference USA, like all the good teams are like, oh, let's go to the American. So now you have the AAC, which is pretty fascinating. Tulane defending champ, plus 210 to win this thing. SMU, the second choice leader odds via DraftKings, plus 360. But in going over the team and listening to you guys on the College Football Betting Podcast, in a conference that is essentially half the one that you were playing in, why are we not looking at like UTSA and being like, hey man, like, this team might be pretty live to win this thing with everything coming back at quarterback. The note, if you could, with everybody, you know, their leading receiver last year leaves, but the guy who was actually leading before injury, like, there's a lot going on with UTSA that you can like. Their win total is only 7.5. You get them at 4-1?
Yeah, UTSA, I mean, I think I would say of the teams that make the changeover from CUSA, which is, you know, UAB, Rice, North Texas, Charlotte, they're the one that's ready to make this jump. You know, they've been recruiting at a high level. Jeff Traylor probably won't be at UTSA very long. Frank Harris is back, but if they had kept Zachary Franklin, and I know wide receivers ultimately, JVT, don't mean necessarily a ton to, you know, a point spread on a week-to-week basis, but it would have just been really nice for this team to have, you know, the best receiver in school history back. But yeah, UTSA, I think, is a team that absolutely is going to be live. Schedule out of the shoot, man, at Houston, Texas State, which should be a win. You get Army at home and then at Tennessee, which I think will be a fun game on September 23rd. But, yeah, I mean, they play a bunch of AAC teams. They don't play CUSA teams, I meant. So, yeah, I think the schedule is pretty manageable there for UTSA. So if you can go 2-2 in the non-con, I think you are on the path to getting over that win total.
All right, Tim, we appreciate it. I know we're up against it here because I was going to ask you about another team, but we'll save it for our analysis because I think the other interesting squad is Florida Atlantic with Tom Herman, who's got a bunch of returning talent, but his first year there. Let everybody know, what's the schedule for the podcast? What do you got coming up in terms of episodes?
Yeah, I'll do it quick. We had so many interviews from Mountain West Media Day, so we're going to compile all that. That should be out at some point, you know, this weekend, and then going to do some favorite win totals from the Big 12 and the SEC next week. And then we'll have the guide out, and then we're just going to revisit all the big-time conferences come in a couple weeks.
All right, Tim. Podcast's awesome. You're doing a great job. It was good to see you the other day, and keep up the good work, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, JBT. See you, man.
You got it. All right, we'll take our break here when we come back. We'll update two things. The two sporting events going on right now, the Open Championship and the Nugget Challenge, which I think Isaiah Wrinkle is, I'm going to say it, he's going to fail.